start with a roll call, please.
Governor Pat Quinn. Acting Secretary Erica Borgren. Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Bang.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Dotson. Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Wisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. We can go forward with the meeting. Thank you very much. I have not been notified that anybody wants to make public comment, so I assume there is no one who would like to make public comment. Okay, thank you. Then we'll move to my report. What I'd like to do is start with approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting and the executive session of July 24th, 2014. May I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you all very much. You had time to review those. What we don't see on the agenda, but we'd like to do is have the committee report from the two committees that met last week.
Chair, I don't think the executive session minutes. Those were to be deferred. I'm afraid that
I'm sorry.
The note in the agenda.
I should have been looking at my annotated. I apologize. Okay, thank you. Well, you spent the time doing the annotated. I should look at it. Okay, so I think we should redo that motion. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting on the 24th, please?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. We'll defer those executive session minutes and move to those later. Okay, so let's turn to the Finance and Administration Operations Committee.
The Finance Committee met last week on August 20th. Finance presented the quarterly financial review for the second quarter. Results for the second quarter were favorable, with revenues of $6.6 million higher than projected, operating expenses $1.8 million lower than projected, and capital expenditures $92 million less than projected for the second quarter. Mike will be providing additional details in a presentation later today. Finance also presented two items for committee approval. The committee approved payment of a little over $500,000 to the Auditor General Audit Expense Fund for the cost of the Tollways Annual Audit, which was done by KPMG. The committee also approved funding for the Tollways Claim Reserve for Workers' Comp in the amount of $9 million for 2014-15 claim year, as well as reduction in claim reserves for all prior years of a total of a little over $553,000. The Chief Procurement Officer, John Donato, gave a presentation, basically getting ready for winter, believe it or not. Talked about winter materials. He basically said that we had 38 storms last year and over 80 inches of snow. Compared to the year before, we had only had 19 storms and 28 inches of snow. So hopefully we don't run into the same kind of winter we just had. But Paula told me this morning there's a forecast that shows even worse than last year. So.
Well, thank you.
Tollways does have enough key commodities on hand for the upcoming winter season, which is good news. John then presented seven items which were approved by the committee. Those items include requests for bulk rock salt, about $8 million in contracts to provide salt, storage battery upgrades, legislative liaison services, bulk fuel for a two-year contract of approximately $15 million, and HVAC parts. Shauna Whitehead presented reclaiming inactive IPAS account funds. There's currently $2.2 million in unclaimed funds. There's about 500 inactive accounts, and letters have gone out or about to go out, and responses are due by October 1st. If there's not a response under the Unclaimed Property Act, the Illinois Treasurer's Office, the ICATCH program. Engineering presented 13 items, which were reviewed and placed on today's consent agenda. There were three construction contract awards, one for advanced drainage work along the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor, a little over $4 million, one for signage improvements at various locations along the south portion of the Tri-State Tollway, which includes about 10 cantilever signs, 78 new exit panels, and I think the total budget for that was about $3.5 million. One for the relocation of 6 miles of water main and various improvements along the Jane Addams Tollway, Memorial Tollway. The cost of the water main will be reimbursed by the Northwest Suburban Municipal Joint Action Water Agency. There was an intergovernmental agreement. I think the total bid that came in was $54 million. I believe the reimbursement is close to $48 million from JAWA.
Yeah, that's the amount of work that we're doing for JAWA within that contract, about $48 million.
In addition to the three construction contract awards, there were 6 construction change orders and extra work orders. 2 are extra work orders that were processed as claims for the use of 2 concrete plants on I-90. One was for extra work, was an extra work order to address the pavement repairs required as a result of the truck fire at I-90 that occurred on July 25th. The cost of this work is to be reimbursed by the trucking firm's insurance carrier. One change order, extra work order, provides funding for upgrading the structural strength of the single-phase concrete barrier wall on LNI 390 to meet our current standards. One change order was to address additional topsoil for work, which was insufficient quantity included in the original contract plans. And the last change order provides for additional subgrade material used for the mechanically stabilized earth retaining wall, for which there was insufficient quantity included in the original contract. I think we're reviewing the errors and omissions on that, that are being reviewed on the original design. There were also two partial releases of retainage and two final releases of retainage. And the last three items pertain to land acquisition, which we're going to discuss, were deferred from our committee to today's board meeting and exec. Legal presented six items. The first three items presented were the general utility agreements with Sidera Networks, Red Speed Illinois, and XO Communications. Each of these agreements sets up standard tollway protocol for those and these entities which have installed communication cables on the near on or near the tollway right-of-way, which must be relocated, protected, and or otherwise modified as a result of the tollway improvements. These agreements basically define the process and procedures to be followed to identify, design, construct, and make payments for the relocation, removal, and protection of the affected communication facilities. Item number four was an intergovernmental agreement with the Fox Valley, Fox River Water Reclamation District, the Illinois Department of Transportation, in connection with the widening of I-90 at Route 25. There's a need for the relocation of District 6 Sanitary Force Main. Some of the required work will be for this piping that is on IDOT right-of-way, and the aspect of the work will be tollway expenses, currently estimated at $153,000 for the relocation. Item 5, intergovernmental agreement with the City of Aurora and Aurora Township Highway Department in connection with the tollway's performance of a bridge replacement at I-88 and Church Road. The Church Road Bridge will be closed to traffic during construction, and Farnsworth Avenue Bridge would become a main detour route to take local traffic over I-88. We basically have agreed to, at the cost of tollway, about improvements of $10,000 to basically maintain responsibilities for that road with the new traffic being deferred. Item 6, appointment of bond council assignments for the transaction, for the next transaction. Per practice, the board pre-approved bond council assignments upon recommendation from the general counsel from earlier established pool of 10 firms. Staff recommends the following assignments to be established for the next public debt market transaction in the tollway may undertake during the Move Illinois program. Chapman & Cutler as bond counsel, Pulsinelli, PFPC as insurer's counsel, and Corliss and Brady as recommended counsel for the underwriters.
Thank you. And there was good discussion, I think, particularly about the pipeline, where it was kind of a complicated bid process, and I think some of the directors had some questions about that, and I thought it was a very good exchange. Thank you very much, Director Peterson. Director Gonzalez, we have the Audit Committee as well.
Thank you. Yeah, the Audit Committee also, we did last Wednesday, August 20th, we reviewed the findings from the 2013 financial and compliance audit that was performed by KPMG on behalf of the Illinois Auditor General. Representatives from KPMG and a representative from the Office of the Auditor General attended the meeting. We also discussed how the ERP system that is being developed will be able to bring our system up to date and address issues found in the audit. Cassandra Rouse, the Tollway's Chief Internal Auditor, gave us an update on internal audit activity. She reviewed the purpose, authority, and responsibility of the internal audit department, required communication, and the Fiscal Control Internal Audit Act, also known as FISA. The FISA requirements include a two-year audit plan, cycle audits, special audits, and vendor audits, special implementation reviews, and an agency certification letter to the Auditor General. Ms. Rouse also went over the peer review process that is beginning, which is a mandatory requirement for the Internal Audit Department to have an external quality assessment every 5 years. And the purpose of the peer review is to determine whether the Internal Audit Department is in compliance with the Institute of Internal Auditing definition of Internal Auditing Code, the Code of Ethics, and the International Auditing Standards, as well as compliance with FISA. The peer review is expected to be completed by November 2014. We appreciate the work of the external and the internal auditors. The work provides an opportunity to continually evaluate the tollway process and systems, which leads to improved management practice and stronger internal control.
Thank you. And I would just underscore that, as you know, I have an unnatural affection for audits because I believe that they save us from ourselves. And this is a very good external audit. I mean, we continue to see that our systems need to be upgraded, but
I just wanted to congratulate Christie and all of her team for the good audit, and Director Gonzalez, who's been helpful on this, and Cassandra, and the internal audits are great too. Where you want to know where their weaknesses, so you can fix them. I think the agency handled that whole process very well. Nobody's defensive, and we end up getting some really good information out of those processes. So thank you for your work on that too. I don't have any additional items on that, so why don't we turn this over to Christie?
Great. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is introduce the quarterly budget to actual review for 2014. So this is the second quarter budget to actual. We went over this in pretty thorough detail at the Finance Committee, but we always do a brief synopsis, which Mike Kelsch is going to give now, of kind of the preliminary budget to actual for the second quarter. And I think you'll see that traffic is performing well, and generally we're in good shape in terms of spending in our major budget categories. So, Mike.
Thank you. That about covers it.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Good morning, everyone. As you recall, the first quarter was a quarter where we had some severe winter weather, some increased costs related to our operations as a result of that, and reduced revenue because of lower traffic volumes impacted by the weather. The second quarter, we were able to essentially reverse those trends and reverse those unfavorable variances from the first quarter. In the second quarter, revenue was about $6.4 million more than budget. Expenses and operating expenses were about $1.8 million less than budget. And the capital program expenditures were less than budgeted in the second quarter. With respect to the revenue, the key elements or key drivers to that were commercial vehicle traffic increased significantly in the second quarter when compared to the same period of a year ago. So commercial vehicle traffic actually grew 6.6%, which was higher even than the healthy projection that CDM Smith had made, which about 3.5% greater than CDM Smith had projected for the second quarter. Obviously, hopefully reflecting improving economic conditions. Passenger vehicles as well increased above what was projected in the second quarter. They grew about 3.5% year to year over the same quarter, which was 1% greater than we included in the budget. So you can see the variance is primarily toll revenues during the second quarter. And if you like to see that in bar chart form, the blue bar is budget, and the green bar are the actual results for those months. And as you can see, the January, February, March actuals were all less than what we had budgeted, again reflecting the winter weather. But April, May, and June have all been above what was projected for those months. With respect to the operating budget in the second quarter, the key drivers in that area were vacancies. We had a number of vacant positions that we had budgeted, and also some reduced use of overtime in the second quarter. We had a significant amount of overtime in the first quarter, again, because of the plowing activities. Also, the second quarter was impacted favorably, at least temporarily, by the timing of purchases. Roadway materials and equipment maintenance, particularly in the area of information technology and traffic operations, was less than we budgeted for the second quarter, but we're going to see those expenses in the second half of the year. In fact, I think there are several items on the board's agenda today with respect to winter materials. Actually, winter materials is an area where we expect to see a cost pressure in the second half of the year that we will be working to accommodate. In the capital program, while we continue to spend significantly more than we have in previous years, it was less than what we had budgeted in our cash flow for the second quarter. About $52 million of that is due to timing and schedule issues. about $37 million is due to reduced project costs relative to what we had projected in our plan. And then there was some minor kind of net scope changes or changes in the field that we were accommodating within the program.
So I apologize if we talked about this and I don't remember. Paul, what do you anticipate in terms of the $52 million? Will that then spread out over the rest of the year?
Yeah, we're entering the bigger months of production right now. And I think you're going to see that $52 million get reduced as we move on. The paving work is what really eats up a lot of the dollars in the program. And a lot of the paving work has begun now on I-90 in the west, and it's going to continue over the next month. That's why I believe the timing and schedule explanation for the reduction is going to change.
And I would add that these comparisons are to the budget that we did back in October. So in February, when we did our first new money bond issue, February-March time frame, we did work with the PMO and engineering on the cash flow. And at that time, they actually forecast or projected that the work would cost less, about $100 million or so less for the whole year than what we had budgeted for last October.
So the 37 would be part of that 100, the projected cost savings? Or is that a combination?
I think the combination of the top two.
And has the rain, I would say, unusual rain slowed down the paving? I think August is pretty dry. Right?
Yeah, August is good. June, July, we had a few days where it was hurt, a couple extended stretches there where it hurt some of the projects, but I think all that has been accommodated within those projects and we're moving forward with the work.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, sure.
No.
So in summary, again, revenue for the second quarter, $6.4 million above target, maintenance and operations below budget. Something we hadn't talked about, the debt service transfers or debt service costs were less than budgeted for the second quarter due to lower cost of borrowing, as well as the fact that we had affected an economic refunding, which helped reduce our debt service in 2014. And as we mentioned, the capital program costs. And year to date, the revenue is now above our projection through the first 6 months of the year. Operating spending is about $1 million below budget, but we do have we're going to continue to monitor issues such as parts and fuel, winter materials for the remainder of the year. Debt service transfers, $12 million less than budget, and the capital program in total for the year, $127 million below what we had projected last October.
Any questions? Just because Mike is so proud of it, maybe you can put up the next slide, which is his pie chart. Yeah, he's never done a pie chart. Can you put up his pie chart?
His pie chart slide?
I think it's clear. Okay.
Congratulations.
This month.
It's also very instructive.
You're killing.
I think. Okay, good. Anything more on that?
No problem. Always happy. Highlight the innovation coming out of our finance department. So the next presentation we'd like to go through actually has to do very much with our construction program. So it was interesting that Director Darcy at the last meeting asked the question very specifically about, with the volume of activity and spending that the Illinois Tollway is putting out on the street. With our construction program, how are we going to, have we seen any kind of constriction in prices, or have we seen any even inflation in the prices that we're getting and bids that we're getting in the construction program? So this year has been scheduled to be the largest year in our agency's history in terms of capital spending. That will be surpassed by next year, which we're still anticipating will be even a little bit larger than this year's program. So with that in mind, but also wanting to pay attention to some of the particular challenges that we're going to see in the eastern section of the I-90 corridor. I think that engineering has developed what is a very innovative way of, you know, giving the tollway some maximum flexibility when it comes to, you know, how we're bidding out these projects. So I'd like to turn it over to Paul. We wanted to discuss it with the board to make sure you were all comfortable with this. But, you know, I really think that we've come up with, and engineers come up with, an innovative way of dealing with some of these challenges. So, Mr. Kovac.
Thank you, Executive Director. And Christy mentioned all the main points, so I'm just going to provide a little more detail on it. The first slide here shows you the agenda of what we're going to talk about. So as we enter, we're actually entering the 2015 bidding season right now. We'd like to get our contracts bid at the end of the year in the fall so that we can have all the contractors set up and ready to go as soon as the weather breaks starting in the spring. So we have a lot of I-90 contracts that are going to be coming to the board. And you will see them over the next few months here. We are going to be working on the 25-mile section of I-90 in the east. That is going to present us with some unique construction challenges. So right now we're looking at strategies and options to put the tollway in the best position to maximize our efficiency in delivering this work, and then also hopefully put us in the best position to get the best possible pricing for this work. So this slide deals with some of the construction challenges we're facing on 90. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've been really focused on in the Move Illinois program thus far is we're creating a lot of opportunities for a lot of different firms at a lot of different levels. And earlier this year, I did talk to the board about how there would be times when we would look to maybe make a larger, put together a larger construction bid package, but only if it was under the right conditions and that we believed that it would, you know, generate greater competition for us, provide a more efficient and safe work zone, and increase, you know, our potential for getting bid savings on this work. So based on our review of the eastern segment of I-90, we feel that this is a good section, a good corridor to be considered for doing some type of a flexible bid packaging strategy that would allow for some larger contracts. We have, you know, as I'm going to go through, a lot of challenges there. I want to also tell you that it's not going to come at the expense of our unbundling efforts. I mean, when we talked about unbundling our contracts, we always knew that the mainline work, the main primary roadway work, wasn't going to lend itself to that initiative. So I don't anticipate that, you know, what we're going to talk about doing on our I-90 mainline bid packages is going to have any impact on that program or those efforts. We know we're going to go into the largest construction year in the tollway's history. It's going to be much like it was this year. The industry, our suppliers, our staff, and our consultants, we're all adapting to that challenge. It is an increased level of effort for us. So I think we need to look for opportunities where we could get additional help from new firms and new people, and then also look for ways to make it easier for us to actually implement the work that we have scheduled to deliver. This portion of I-90, it's a heavily traveled section of our roadway. It's carrying about 150 to 160,000 vehicles a day. So we know right away, as soon as we see those kinds of traffic volumes, that we're going to have to pay special attention to the maintenance of traffic that we're doing there. And we want to make sure we're having a safe work zone, not only for the workers, but also for all these motorists that are going to have to drive by it every single day. It's going to be a very compact work zone. In the western section of I-90, we actually have a 300-foot right-of-way, and we're going from two lanes in each direction to three. In the eastern section, we have a 250-foot right-of-way, so that's 50 feet less, and we're going from three lanes to four. So it's a very, very tight work zone, and when you build mainline pavement, it requires the choreography of a lot of equipment and materials and personnel to get in and out of these sites, so it really doesn't lend itself to mixing it up and putting a lot of contractors, different contractors, into the same confined workspace. Currently, on our I-90 bid contracts, we have prepared our design documents for nine construction packages. So we're pretty far along in the design process, and the rest of the presentation is going to focus on how we can, what our options are for actually bidding those nine construction packages. What we hope to achieve with a flexible bid package strategy, as I mentioned, maximize our efficiency, put us in the best position to get good prices for this work. We're hoping to foster more competition by attracting new prime contractors. I will note that providing new prime contractors also kind of opens the door for new subcontractors. We hear a lot of times that there's a lot of established relationships in the contracting community. Primes like to go to the same subs. So if we can attract new primes to come in and do our work, they will have to build new relationships with subcontractors. So I think there's an opportunity and a benefit there. We also want to optimize our delivery, maximize efficiency by allowing design contracts to potentially be bid in a combined manner. We know there are going to be economies of scale. We know that if I can put together a larger work zone, the contractor will have more flexibility in scheduling and sequencing his operations, and that will all hopefully all lead to lower prices to the tollway. And we hope, you know, we are pushing it a little bit. This is innovative for us, but we're hoping to invigorate competition in the contracting community. So the first thing we did was, you know, make sure we're considering all the lessons learned from the past. And the tollway has actually done a combination or a combo bid package approach before. And we did it on the South Tri-State earlier in the congestion relief program. And we did not have a good experience.
I'm sorry. Maybe everybody else knows, but I think it might be useful to explain what a flexible bid package is or a combo bid package.
In this case, what we're talking about...
Why don't we skip ahead? Could we just skip ahead just to show them the slide and then come back?
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that would be helpful.
So it's a very small graphic here, but it does show it.
But you can use big words.
I'll try. So we have nine construction bid packages right now. Or nine design contracts that have been developed, and that's represented on this top line right here. This graphic shows the section of I-90 that we're talking about. Roughly goes from, you know, this Fox River on the west end all the way to the O'Hare Airport area on the east end. The way the designers prepared the contract documents is shown on top. There are nine packages. They range in size. You see these letters that are above these segments, they indicate the size of the bid packages. So I believe we had seven in the 50 to 75 million range. We have one larger one, E, in the 75 to 100 million dollar range. And then we have a small one near the Fox River Bridge in the 10 to 25 million dollar range. So that's what we have right now, which is at the pre-final stage of contract plan development. What we're considering is on some of those 50 to 75 million packages, give the contractor the option of bidding them together. So we show that on the bottom part of this graphic, and you see that's going to result in one contract in the 50 to 75, potentially three contracts in the combined 100 to 150 range. We keep the same large contract in the west here at 75 to 100, and we keep the same small contract near the Fox River Bridge and the 10 to 25. So what we're really talking about and what we're recommending that we consider doing on this section is actually combining and giving the opportunity for two design contracts to be bid as one. And we have three opportunities to do that, and they are all in sections that are adjacent to each other, and they all are in sections where we have the same designer for both contract packages, so we know there's going to be some consistency in the preparation of that document. And I think one of the things we noticed when we went back and we talked to the other agencies who have done this before, there's a way to do it.
Do you want to go back now to your other
Sure.
slide? I'm sorry to get you out of sync.
That's what I'm basically driving towards, so hopefully when you get some more of the details, that'll make more sense to you. So we tried a similar approach before on the congestion relief program, but we actually talked about combining four design contracts, And the four that we were thinking of combining were all already in the $70 million range. So it was really a mega job. It was, you know, we estimated it at about $300 million if you consider them all together. The bids came in at $400 million. We did not achieve what we wanted to. There were some differences in how that approach was done, though. We did not have fully developed plans, especially with respect to maintenance and traffic. We kind of left that up to the contractor to figure out what he wanted to do on the maintenance and traffic. We also bid all those jobs on the same day. So it was kind of like rolling the dice and taking an all or nothing shot at it. I mean, we were hoping to do well. What we actually had to do when we...
we also had one tri-venture, correct?
Yeah, there was a tri-venture of three small firms, so that really cut down on the number of potential bidders. We only got two bids overall, and one was a tri-venture of three firms. So what we ended up doing on that contract was actually going back and just breaking it down into the individual pieces, completing the maintenance and traffic plans, and putting it out later.
So this would have been approximately when?
This was, I believe it was 2005, but I have to check that date.
But some of the experience on this large job has driven the tollways kind of attitude toward or strategy around bid packages since then, right?
That's correct. We knew, you know, if we stay in the $50 to $75 million range, that's what contractors, the majority of them like that. They feel like, you know, they can bid on multiple ones, you know, multiple contracts like that. I think, you know, with the experience that we had recently on putting out, you know, the larger Illinois Route 390, I-290 interchange project, and also putting out our Fox River Bridge contract, we actually, you know, we're not going super big, but we did go out in the $75 million range, and I felt we attracted some
new
clients.
Well, our budgets were actually we had projected higher, actually, that we ended up getting prices.
We did achieve some bid savings, and we did attract some new people into the work, and we are having great experience thus far. I mean, the contractor at the Fox River Bridge is really doing a fantastic job. He just got started with the other big job at the interchange, the big contract with the Illinois Route 390. 290. It's nice when these new folks come in because they really treat us as a preferred client, and they are willing to do and go out of their way to prove to us that, you know, they're going to do good work for us. So it is helping invigorate the program a little bit, and then it's also, you know, making everyone else sharpen their pencils if they want to get the work that we have. I think we're in the process, and we are coordinating with legal and procurement and our state purchasing officer. We also looked at other agencies, and I really liked what CDOT did for the Skyway project. They were doing it with much smaller contract sizes in the $20 to $25 million range. But what they did was, it really was only adding two pages to the contract specifications. They said, we want you to bid each contract individually, and we want you to fill out these two pages and tell us what would be the reduced price if you were to get both of these contracts together. So tell us, you know, what the economy of savings, what the efficiency gain would mean to us. And then CDOT had the opportunity to review that and then award it based on the absolute lowest possibility of all those potential bids. So they could have awarded it to the low bidder in each contract independently, if that turned out to be the combined lowest total, or they could have awarded it to the combined bidder, if that turned out to be the lowest total. And in this case, the combined bid did win, and it resulted in about a 6% savings. This is the page that demonstrates that there is some legal precedence for this and that allows us to move forward with it. It is a section in the JCAR. We've had some initial conversations with legal and our state purchasing officer, and also with our chief of procurement, John Donato. And we're being told right now things look fine for implementing this type of combination bid strategy. Now's the time when we have to talk about this, because as I mentioned, we're going to be putting out these bid packages, advertising them from September, and we're going to start awarding or opening bids in October and November.
Can we talk a little bit more? We focused a lot on price competition, which I think is incredibly important in this, but the other thing that makes I-90 unique in that eastern section are some of the issues that you touched on earlier, but if you could just explain a little more, you know, the traffic volumes, the constricted area that people are going to have to work in, some of those challenges, because it's kind of a combination of, you know, how are we as a tollway getting the best price, but also the conditions that are unique to this particular stretch of road.
So that is driving us to look for a way to make things simpler and to improve the efficiency in this section. We will not, in I-90 in the western section, we had a very unique maintenance of traffic plan, and actually because we had a lot of room there, we had the ability to give the contractor access to one whole side of the roadway. We put all the traffic on one side and let the contractor have full access to the other side and rebuild it without having to do a lot of interaction with, you know, the motoring public. And that produces typically the greatest efficiencies. We are not going to have that luxury in the eastern section of I-90. And actually, the strategy that we're going to use is better than what we've used in the past. But what we're going to start out doing in 2015 is we're going to push all the traffic that's out there, the three lanes in each direction. We're going to keep three lanes open in each direction, push them towards the inside of the roadway, the median, and maintain traffic there. And then we're going to do all the work on the outside. And then in the next year, 2016, we're going to do the opposite, push the existing traffic to the newly built outside lanes and shoulders, and go to town on the inside.
But you basically have the same footprint in terms of the amount of right-of-way that we
have. I have less, 50 feet less than what we had in the west.
50 feet less, but is that because of the extra lane that exists?
You know what? It's not because of the extra lane that exists, although that is making it, that's another complication. I believe it's because this is an urban area. The tollway, when they went out and looked at it originally, yes. Whereas the western portion of 90 was more rural. I think we would like to have 300 feet for most of our corridors, and I think we do have that in a lot of our corridors. But in the east, it's going to be a very confined workspace. And we had some open discussions with the contracting community, you know, I think it was over a year ago or earlier this year, and we talked about I-90 and all these challenges. And what they really made clear to us is that, you know, they really have to have the space to work in, and we really can't get too complicated with how we're going to rebuild this roadway. I think they like the maintenance of traffic scheme that we have. I think it's the next best thing we could do to what would, giving them full access without any interaction with the motoring public. In the past, in the congestion relief program, when we had to rebuild large portions of the Tri-State Tollway and I-88, we actually used a counterflow lane. So in order to keep our existing lanes open, we actually had to push one of our lanes onto the opposite side of the roadway. That did cause a lot of motorist confusion. People missed their exits once in a while. But, you know, we're committed to trying to minimize the impact on our customers, the motoring public. So it's rare if the tollway is going to shut down lanes to rebuild, and we restrict it to off-peak hours when we do it now. I think that is most of the challenges that we're facing. We don't have a lot of access, even though we do have more interchanges definitely in the eastern section. Still on our roadway, our interchanges are spaced pretty widely apart. And that really is what drives the bid packaging breakup that we have right now, because you want to give the contractor the means to get on and off his section of the work zone independent, so that he does not have to drive through somebody else's work zone or rely on another contractor's cooperation in order to, you know, do his work.
Bill, now that we're moving into a more dense area population-wise, how are we coordinating your efforts as far as with the delays and with the construction? You're going to have people basically go into the arterial roads, the side roads, and we are recording with local municipalities, local governments, with the impact on those local roads they're going to see. with the construction, you know, people are going to maybe change their, some now, hopefully they're going to change their routes to and from where they're going.
Yeah, we do a lot of coordination along all of our corridors, and I-90 East was no different. We have had meetings with all those communities. As you mentioned, you know, we are hoping not to have a huge diversion of traffic. I mean, I think when you see other large routes get rebuilt, you know, they kind of encourage people to take alternate routes. I mean, we've been focused on trying to develop the maintenance of traffic scheme to keep people on our roadway and keep traffic moving efficiently and not shut down lanes. So we don't, there will be a cost. We know every time, if you just put a construction barrel out on the roadway, it has an impact on our revenue. People don't want to drive through construction. So we are focused also on trying to get it done as quickly as we can. I think that also is recognized by our customers, and they would prefer not to see us at all. I think they love having a new road built and a widened lane to drive on and less congestion, but you know, if they have their choice, I believe they'd like to just see us not be out there and get it done as soon as we can.
Should we flip to slide 11? I think it would be beneficial to have some discussion with the board about this. So were you ready for this?
I just want to touch on this slide a little bit. And this one shows really the concept and what we're trying to do here. And I think I want to tell you that some of the things that we're going to do differently than what we did before on the South Tri-State are, first of all, we're going to allow contractors to bid each contract independently. They do not have to submit a combo bid. They do not have to bid both of them. They want to only bid contract one or contract two, they're allowed to do that. If they are going to submit a combo bid, they must submit individual bids also for contract one and two. We are not going to combine these jobs into a mega job that's in the $300 to $400 million range. These are going to be in the $100 to $150 million range. So that's only really a slight step above, and really what we thought we were actually going to get for bid pricing on the big interchange at Illinois Route 390 and the Fox River Bridge. We have fully designed maintenance and traffic plans included in these contract documents, so the contractor is not going to have to guess at what he has to do out there. We are going to stagger the bid opening dates, so we're going to know if we move forward with it and we try it, we're going to try it on two packages first and see how the results are. We're going to know what kind of responses we're getting, so we'll have time to make adjustments. And as I mentioned, the contract documents are pretty much already prepared, so we have the full option to put them out individually if we want to. We're not going to lose any time. And we are also considering limiting the joint venture opportunities to just two firms. That's a point of discussion that still has to be fully ironed out with our procurement office and also our legal folks. But this chart kind of demonstrates, it gives you a sample. You know, if there were four bidders, A, B, C, and D, and there's two contracts, this is how the bids could come out. You see bidder B is the low bidder on contract one. You see bidder C is the low bidder on contract C. You add those two numbers up together, it adds up to $95 million total. Contractor B has chosen to submit individual bids and also provide us with a combined bid, which totals 94. So we would make that evaluation. We would still be awarding on the basis of the low bid, and 94, you know, would be a savings over the two independent ones.